CB Wallet Podcast. I'm Phil Lucas.
And I'm Phil Jarrett. Why are we here, Phil?
Well, we are going to talk about the greatest disasters in world history. What went wrong, how it went wrong, and whether it was our fault or God's fault.
Lovely. And remember, Phil, it's not our intention to make light of the sometimes quite substantial mortality rates in some of these disasters.
No.
We're just interested in finding out what went wrong. And be honest with yourself, Phil, for God's sake. Look me in the eye and be honest.
I'm doing it.
Right, if this sort of stuff came on the news, I think you'd be interested, wouldn't you?
Yep, love a bit of breaking news, Phil. Better than foreplay.
Lovely. What are we talking about this week?
The Salang Tunnel Fire.
The Salang winds north from Kabul, connecting Afghanistan with Central Asia and Russia. Its strategic importance is vital. It's the only road north that stays open almost all year round, thanks to a terrifying 2-mile tunnel more than 3,400 metres above sea level. This was once the highest and longest tunnel in the world. Inside the tunnel, it's thick with fumes, making it difficult to see and almost impossible to breathe. Just 2 lanes wide, there's hardly any ventilation, and the floor is pitted with ice and potholes. Only a few small sections of the 2.5 kilometres underground are lit. Broken down trucks litter the side of the road. So while it might not be the fastest, safest, most reliable route, for now, it's the best one they've got.
So before we start, Salang, I suppose. Salang?
That's what I'm going with.
Have you not found anything that says it somewhere?
No, I haven't, because there's so little information about this disaster, and also I don't care enough to pronounce it properly.
Why not?
I'm not that bothered. I'm not like one of these people that walks around Britain going, I'll have a paella.
Oh, no, exactly.
You know? I don't call it Paris.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though that's correct. There's a point, isn't there, where you can sort of chide someone for not saying it correctly. And you go, oh, God. And there's a point where you just become a twat for doing it.
I think there's a line between fagitas and fajita.
Yeah, exactly. That's it, isn't it? Like, no, you wouldn't say I'm going to Paris for the weekend.
No.
But I also don't think you should go into Sainsbury's and go, have you got any chorizo? No.
Nobody knows how to say chorizo.
No.
Like, Spanish people don't know how to say chorizo. Chorizo, chorizo, thrizo, just...
You're in big flavoured sausages!
Can't we just say spicy sausage?
Spicy!
It's a spicy sausage.
Is there any more comical meat than a sausage? There isn't, is there? There's something intrinsically funny about a sausage.
Because it looks like a penis.
I think it's because it does look like a cock, yeah.
Just for the sake of gender balance, is there any kind of cured meat that looks like a vagina? It's weird that, isn't it? That's like, you can go, that cured meat looks like a penis, and that's fine. But say, like, a cured meat that looks like a vagina, suddenly you're Hannibal Lecter. Why is that?
It would kind of be like one of those stuffed roasts, wouldn't it? Be a bird in a bird in a bird. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't
really
know what
you
I'm talking
you could
about
get, like,
now.
A salami?
I've never thought of that.
I suppose you could arrange ham.
Why would you want to, though? In fact, why?
A centrepiece.
How did
Christmas
sausage come about?
I suppose if you've got meat,
yes,
that you need to cure to stop it from going off, and you've got to put it in something, then they used to put it in bits of animal, didn't they? And you've got intestine there,
yes,
that you're not using. Why not slide a bit of meat into an intestine?
But why would it be a sausage shape?
Because intestine's long and thin, isn't it?
Oh, is that it?
Oh, I assume so. I can't think of anything else in a body that you would be able to stuff quite as easily as an intestine.
But sausage meat's not intestine meat, is it?
No, like you put it in the intestine.
Unless
don't
it's
you?
Like a Richmond sausage.
Don't you stuff, didn't they used to do that stuff?
I don't know.
Haggis is in a sheep's stomach, isn't it?
That's just wrong, though.
Oh, it's disgusting. Yeah. But I think that's why how sausages came about. I don't think they were modelled after penises. I think that's a...
Okay.
A happy accident. Right, so, Phil, have you been to Afghanistan?
Never been, no.
What do you know about Afghanistan?
Violent, godforsaken, is my understanding of the place. I'm sure it's beautiful.
Well...
And I'm sure the people are lovely, some of them.
We have got this idea, haven't we, I suppose because of war, that it's literally just rocks, like a moon, like the surface of the moon. That's what it looks like, isn't
it? Does look like that, though.
And I don't know anything about Afghanistan that isn't basically just war.
All I know is that any foreign power that tries to go in there and do something normally fails.
It's like the Russian steppe, isn't it? You know what I mean? Like when people try and invade Russia, they all get frozen to the ground.
Yeah.
Like Napoleon tries, gets frozen to the ground. Hitler tries, gets frozen to the ground. And Afghanistan feels like that. Like we just get caught up in endless wars. Mm. I don't know why that should be. Is it something to do with those big dogs? But it does seem quite sort of fitting that we didn't know anything about Afghanistan, because the Salang tunnel fire is a disaster we know literally nothing about.
Very little about. Yeah.
So let's get into it. The Salang Road Tunnel disaster. Phil Lucas, what was it?
It was a fire in the Salang Road Tunnel in Afghanistan.
Brilliant. When did it happen?
The 3rd of November, 1982.
Okay, slap bang in the middle of the 80s. Mm-hmm. How many people died?
Well, it's unknown. The top estimate is 2,750.
Oh, bloody hell.
Yeah, but this is speculation. However, it is generally accepted that the casualty figure does put this event right at the top of any list of all-time fire-related disasters. And we all keep one of those in our bedside cabinet, don't we?
Little book. Just go to sleep on the top 10 list of the greatest fire disasters. So, this is people being incinerated again, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
What incineration? We've done the Hindenburg, that was incineration. Mm-hmm. We've done Quintin's Hill, mm-hmm. that was incineration. This is our third high death toll by fire.
Off the top of my head, it probably is.
I think
yeah.
it is. And this is probably the worst one.
This
right?
is grim. The only thing that's slightly redeeming about this is so little is known of it, because yeah. it was totally hushed up by yeah. the Soviet Union.
Yeah, we're in the Soviet area.
That there's not a lot of detail, which is probably a good thing.
So what are we going to do? Are we going to make it up? Do you think we should do that? Speculate?
Let's put out there what we do know.
Yeah, and then
then we'll just make some stuff up. Because, you know, we, as you've said before, we live in a post-truth world.
Just make it up.
So if we make it up and it feels truthful.
Do you want to ring a bell when it's something we reckon? Right. So we'll give it a go. It's a really interesting one. It's horrible, obviously. It's the world's worst road traffic accident.
Again, even more reason why it's bizarre, because it is without doubt the world's worst ever road traffic accident. Yep. And we know very, very little about it.
Yeah.
Let me take you on a journey to Afghanistan.
Really?
Yeah. I grant you.
Expenses. Do I get expenses? I mean, it's...
Well, it wouldn't be my number one choice if I had the opportunity to travel anywhere in the globe, Phil. I'm with you on that. No. But it's where we need to be if we're going to fully understand what happened in the Salang Tunnel. Or for some strange reason, as I kept calling it in my head when I was researching for these notes, the Jun Sarpong Tunnel.
Okay, so tell me about Jun Sarpong Tunnel.
The Jun Sarpong Tunnel is a vital lifeline for Afghanistan. It connects the northern half of the country with the rest of it.
Okay.
It's also the only major north-south route in Afghanistan that remains open throughout the year, because Afghanistan is a godforsaken place that has some really, really bad weather come winter. Now, the reason it's the only major north-south route is because what separates the north of the country from the south is something called the Hindu Kush mountain range.
Right.
What is the Hindu Kush mountain range? It is a huge, impenetrable group of bastard mountains.
How big are these frickin' mountains, Phil? Tell me everything immediately.
Six mountains in the Afghanistani part of this mountain range are more than 20,000 feet high.
As well, we've established in this podcast, I can't do length.
Okay, so...
Or height. That's height.
Right, all right. 20,000 feet, yeah?
Yeah.
That is the highest mountain in the UK, Ben Nevis.
Right.
On top of the highest mountain in Wales, Snowdon. On top of the highest mountain in England, Scafell Pike.
Three times our mountains.
Three of those.
Right. Bloody hell.
Then you chuck on another Ben Nevis.
Bloody hell.
Right? Another Snowdon. And then an exact replica of the Titanic placed vertically on top of all of that. That is 20,000 feet.
Jesus Christ, that is a mountain.
Six of those.
And the tunnel's going through them.
Mm. Yeah, you've got it right. The Salang Tunnel does exactly that. It goes under those bastard mountains for 1.7 miles.
Okay.
The advantage of this is that it enables travellers to take 186 miles off the nearest available alternative journey.
Which is through a sort of hellish moonscape of landmines.
Having to go round the mountains. And now, because we're not talking about roads as the same quality as the ones in the UK here.
What, much better are they in Afghanistan, I should imagine?
This means...
Roads are terrible in this country. Sorry, carry on.
They are terrible, but they're worse in Afghanistan.
Oh, okay.
Because 186 miles off the journey would equate to a time travelling of about 60 hours.
Bloody hell, yeah, they are
you
bad.
Can't go massively fast in these roads.
Christ.
Yeah. And something to bear in mind, Phil, this isn't any old tunnel, right?
Yeah.
When we're talking about the Salang Tunnel, we're talking about a tunnel that was constructed by the Soviet Union in 1964. It's not going to be amazing.
It's going to be utilitarian to a fault, isn't it?
You know? Yeah. When it was built, highest tunnel in the world, at 11,154 feet high. So it goes under the mountains, but, you know, it's not like mountains start at the bottom.
Oh, yeah,
and
good point.
You, you know, you always have smaller mountains to get there. And
so you're winding through
you're
the mountains.
You're winding through.
Really high.
Yeah.
And then you piss through them.
Yeah.
And then you're winding down, I suppose. Yeah.
Do you want to know what 11,154 feet is, Phil?
Yep.
Okay. If you take Britain's tallest mountain, and on top of that, you put Wales' tallest mountain, and on top of that, you put England's tallest mountain.
Right.
That is give or take 30 feet. 11,154 feet. That is a high tunnel.
So this underground tunnel is three times higher than the highest place in Britain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So get that in your mind. It's a sort of tunnel in the sky.
You're probably having oxygen problems.
Yeah, that's high enough, isn't it, to have oxygen problems?
Yeah.
Afghanistan. I'm beginning to see why it's so difficult to fight a war in Afghanistan.
Not, it's not a conventional it's not a conventional war, is
no,
it, over
it's
there
not.
Ever. Let me sum this up, Phil.
Okay.
Salang Tunnel.
Yeah.
Links the north and south of Afghanistan. It goes under Kulishaka's Hindu Kush mountain range.
Yeah.
It was built by the Soviet Union in 1964.
So we can't talk about it.
No. 1.7 miles long.
Yep.
And 11,154 foot high at the time it was built. It was the highest tunnel in the world. Now the second highest tunnel is one in America.
Where's that then?
I don't know. Somewhere in Colorado,
probably,
I think.
Up a mountain, isn't it? I should imagine. Unless they put it on stilts. What else do we need to bear in mind about this tunnel?
Well, as I think we've alluded to, this is not some first world superhighway, Phil.
No.
This is a two-lane, Soviet-built, grim, drab, horrible construction.
Yeah.
It's only 7 metres wide.
Bloody hell, okay.
It's damp.
Yeah.
It leaks.
Mm-hmm.
It's full of ice and potholes.
Yep.
The road surface, if it's not ice, is just virtually mud.
Mm-hmm.
There is little or no ventilation.
Yeah.
It's unlit.
Right.
And cars can only travel through it safely at about 5 miles an hour.
So it's the Dartford Tunnel. Essentially.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. Like, I watched the video you showed me on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I think, go on YouTube and look at that video. Mm. You can watch somebody going through it.
Mm.
And it is bleak, man.
It's really horrible.
Fucking bleak. It is the least you would expect from a tunnel.
Mm.
It's literally just a hole through a mountain, isn't it? It's got nothing.
Nothing
at
all.
It's got nothing going on. And was it 1.7 miles long?
Yeah.
So long enough that it's like you can't see light at either end.
Well, you're virtually walking pace. I mean, 5 miles an hour, you're only...
Yeah.
That's a really fast walk or a very, very slow jog, isn't it?
Certainly, that's how fast I jog.
That is not all, Phil.
Oh, okay.
It was built to have a 2,000 car capacity a day.
Right.
Most days, it takes about 9,000 vehicles.
Oh, my God. So they're bumper to bumper then through this thing?
Bumper to bumper, yeah. Very little width between the ones going one way, ones going the other way.
Right.
It's also falling apart.
Yeah.
It needs millions and millions of pounds spent on it.
Yeah.
And just to put a little bit of glacé cherry there on the grim cake, it's in an active avalanche region.
Oh, fucking hell.
Avalanches in the area come in at about 250 a year.
Oh, so not like uncommon, not like there might be an avalanche, it's like, oh, there's been six today.
Yeah, I mean, 250, that's more, that's about one every 1.3 days, isn't it?
Right, so high up in the air that you can't breathe, bumper to bumper in a tunnel with no lighting or ventilation in an avalanche region of a war zone. Okay.
Yeah, in short, yeah.
Lovely.
It's not uncommon for cars on the road or entering the tunnel to just be routinely swept away.
It's becoming more and more, you know, reasonable that this is the worst road traffic accident of all time now. It seems like most days people are dying in various ways.
I think they are. I mean, even if, you know, we said go on YouTube and look at Salang Tunnel, look at Salang Pass as well, which is the road just to get you up to the tunnel.
Well, that Salang Tunnel is only a part of that terrifying drive, isn't it? This windy, sort of horrible road through the mountains.
Godforsaken shit. Oh.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Those Afghanis.
Hardened. So don't fight them.
Don't fight them. Look at their commute. They've got like the world's most hardcore commute. Don't start a war with people who are fucking dealing with life or death just to get to work.
Well, that's my bit.
Oh, okay.
What happened on the day of the disaster then, Phil?
So, cast your mind back to 1982.
Mm-hmm. To Shy Shy, Hush Hush, Shy.
The Falklands War.
Falklands War.
Was that a good war?
It was for us.
Was it really?
Yes.
Did we get anything out of the Falklands War?
The Falklands.
Oh, did we want them?
We kept them.
Anything good in the Falklands? Penguins.
Penguin sheep.
Is that what we fought for? Penguins and sheep?
No. British people live there, want to stay British.
Oh, do they?
Falklands forever. Death of John Belushi.
Death of John Belushi is very sad. We are into the fourth year of the Soviet-Afghan War.
Mm.
I'm going to have to quote Wikipedia here. You ready, Phil?
Mm-hmm.
The Soviet-Afghan War lasted over 9 years, from December 1979, winter of discontent, dead go unburied, to February 1989, 10-year war.
So the dead go unburied to acid house.
Yeah. That's what we're dealing with.
That's a long time.
Sort of Thatcher to Thatcher. Insurgent groups, known collectively as the Mujahideen, as well as smaller Maoist groups, fought a guerrilla war against the Soviet army and the Democratic Republic of Afghanistan government, mostly in the rural countryside, which I imagine is most of Afghanistan, is it?
I think so, yeah.
The Mujahideen group were backed primarily by the United States, Saudi Arabia and Pakistan, making it a Cold War proxy war. We had loads of these in the 80s, didn't we?
Loads of them, yeah.
Lots of proxy wars. Mm. Between 562,000 and 2 million civilians were killed, and millions of Afghans fled the country as refugees, mostly to Pakistan and Iran.
So not a good time to be in Afghanistan.
It's a tense time to be in Afghanistan, right? There's a lot of war going on, and an awful lot of that war could, like the touch paper, to big war. That's what proxy wars were, weren't they?
Yeah, domino theory.
Domino theory,
and all that.
So we're in the middle of this war.
Mm.
The Soviet Union are everywhere at this point, and needless to say, they're using this tunnel through the mountains as a vital part of their movements, right? Because they've got some bastard mountains, and you know what the Soviets are like?
Yep.
They're moving tanks. All the time.
It's all they do.
They're not parading.
They're moving tanks.
They're moving tanks. They're moving those big things with missiles on the back.
I love those.
We love them. Moving them up and down. And I guess, like, lots of troops and stuff.
I would love us to have a military parade in Britain every year.
I was thinking about this the other day.
Love it.
Because you went to Nuremberg and they made those huge parade grounds.
Yeah.
I was like, where would we do that? Up the Mall? You know,
it's not big enough.
It's not really big enough, is it?
No, we'd have to do it at sort of Donington or something.
Or just round and round and...
Franzach.
That's right. Now, this is where it becomes complicated because I have to say that even though we've decided to cover this disaster, which I think is a good disaster to cover, it's an interesting one. However, no one knows a great deal about Afghanistan. No one knows a great deal about what was happening in Afghanistan during this period of history. Okay, there's never even been a documentary about this as far as we know. I mean...
I've not found anything.
So we're sort of down to a very few sources. Okay, no official details of this disaster has ever been released, despite it most likely being the world's most deadly ever road accident.
Well, it's the Soviet Union, isn't it?
Yeah.
They don't release anything that makes them look bad.
And most things were making them look bad at this point, I should have thought. Couple that with a war environment, which we've had before in the Quinter's Hill disaster. You don't want to be publicising, hey guys, loads of our guys just got killed by us. You know, you don't want to be sort of making people feel shit about the war that they are currently fighting in a wasteland under a mountain. They're not going to make a big thing of it, essentially. So it was basically completely hushed up, this disaster.
Ignored!
It swept under the carpet completely. Virtually everything that we know about this disaster comes from hearsay, further complicated by varying accounts of what happened on the day. So, you know, with a pinch of salt, right? If we start with the very formal Soviet army records, we're led to believe that on the 3rd of November 1982, two military convoys collided in the tunnel, causing a traffic jam.
Right, okay.
So you've got one convoy going north, you've got another convoy going south, and you get a crash in the middle of the tunnel.
That makes sense.
There were no fires or explosions at this point, but 64 Soviet soldiers and 112 Afghani people were killed by carbon monoxide emitting by idling engines in the tunnel.
Of course, because we said there's no ventilation.
And this point as well, cars are pretty polluting things, aren't they?
Yeah, you're looking at a Datsun Cherry.
Oh, that bad?
Yeah.
Okay. The sort of thing that if your wife had left you...
That's the car you choose, those sort of cars.
That's what you would plug up your garage and you'd sit in the car, you'd pop on Let It Be.
Death by Cavalier.
Death by Cavalier, exactly. So it's that sort of thing. Okay. So a lot of people at this point killed by carbon monoxide.
Mm.
Now, so it's already a bit crap. It's worth pointing out here that the tunnel has never had decent ventilation. Right? Okay. Sometimes it's never had any at all, which is the case on the day of the disaster.
Yeah, I think it was broken down, wasn't it? I think the very limited 1964 ventilation they did have had broken down that day. And it broke down all the time.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, what we're dealing with here is a tube through a mountain. Mm. Literally just a tube.
Crappy, leaking, icy, muddy, dark tube.
Now filled with gas. But that Soviet army explanation is at odds with what lots of witnesses actually saw and other stories which started to emerge.
Right.
Which I would have thought you could probably trust more than the Soviet.
They don't always hit the nail bang on the head, the Soviet Union or Russia, when they give an official statement about something that happened, do they?
Right. You've never heard Soviets. We're all about transparency. It's not a thing they're into.
I mean, I do quite like looking at tweets from Russia today, but I do take them with a salt mine of salt.
That's right. So what follows, Phil, is the most likely explanation of what happened that day, corroborated by a number of different accounts.
Okay.
So on the 3rd of November 1982, a Soviet army convoy was travelling from Russia to Kabul.
Kabul.
That route took the convoy through the Salang Tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
The general consensus of what followed is that one of the fuel tankers in the tunnel crashed, like we said, pretty much.
Okay.
We don't know if it collided with another vehicle, it's never been proved, or whether it crashed into the side of the tunnel, or if it hit an insurgent's mine.
Ooh.
No one knows what happened to it, particularly. Well, somebody does. They just won't tell us, mate.
Or they're dead.
All we really know is that the fuel tanker exploded.
Right.
That's bad news in the centre of a tunnel under a mountain.
It's pretty bad in an open field.
I mean, what we've essentially created there is a firework.
Yeah.
You have to remember that the Salang Tunnel is not very wide. No. Right? It's very long, but it's only 7 metres wide.
It's not much.
So what's 7 metres wide?
It's essentially two car widths and not a great deal more, isn't it?
That's right. And it's about the height of Richard Osman. Not very tall at all. And there was no ventilation in the tunnel, as we've said. Yeah. So with the dimensions and conditions in the tunnel, when the explosion happened, the results were properly catastrophic, right?
You can imagine.
I've driven through the Dartford Tunnel, and you do go, if something happens here, we're fucked.
And the Dartford Tunnel's really big in comparison to this.
Yeah, really big. This is like a sewage tunnel or something.
Yeah.
It's tiny.
Yeah.
You essentially had a massive explosion in a thin tube chock-a-block with people. So that explosion pushes out through the tunnel, causing an explosive chain reaction everywhere.
Yeah, because it can't go anywhere. The explosion can't go up.
It can't be dissipated. The energy can't dissipate, can it? Because it's a mountain. It's not even like it can push through the brick walls of the sides. Yeah. You see what I mean? It's not going to push that mountain out of the way. About 30 full buses carrying soldiers were immediately blown up in the initial explosion. So they're incinerated. As the fire began to spread, panic set in. I mean, I can't imagine that panic, because there really is nowhere to go. There's nothing to do at all. You're trapped.
It's got to be resignation, isn't it?
It's just got to be resignation. It would happen very quickly, but I would imagine it's a wall of fire coming towards you.
Like you see in those Hollywood movies.
Yeah.
But people manage to run away from.
Yeah, that's stupid.
It's never going to happen.
When they run away from water as well, don't they? When a dam breaks and they're all running up New York, and it's like, mate, you're all being drowned. We have to remember here that although a Soviet convoy was going through the tunnel, it was also open to civilians. So there's lots of other people. Not that soldiers being incinerated is any worse or better.
It's a mixture, though.
It's a mixture of people in this tunnel. Mm. A lot of civilian cars and lorries in this tunnel at the time of the explosion. Now, the Soviets, believing the explosion was part of an attack by their enemies.
Yeah, you could think that.
Stopped the traffic from exiting the tunnel.
Oh.
So they blocked up the end of the tunnel. But people were still entering the tunnel from the other end. So it's getting, even though the explosion is sort of causing a chain reaction within the middle of it, there's still people entering it from the other side.
Oh, God.
And it seems like a very strange thing to do.
Well, this is the country that invented a jet train.
With the traffic then stopped, you see, the cars were idling in the tunnel. Levels of carbon monoxide was getting worse and worse and worse. So the air quality is decreasing drastically. And that helped the fire to spread. Mm. Right, that exacerbated the situation and resulted in people burning to death, choking to death from the smoke, or succumbing to carbon monoxide poisoning in concrete darkness. I don't know what it's like dying of carbon monoxide, but I'm thinking, I mean, frick me, I'd take that, wouldn't you? You know, the sort of...
It's got to be better than burning and choking to death, hasn't it?
You'd think so. So that is pretty much all we know what is kind of likely to have happened in the worst road disaster ever.
Yeah, but that really is it.
That's it.
There's very little information on it. Yeah. Soviets have never officially
talked about it.
We'll never know exactly what caused it.
Or how many people died, or who they were, or what they did about it.
Yeah, we'll know nothing. We can speculate on casualties.
Lovely.
But it does rather follow that if we know nothing about what happened, we know very little about the actual number of casualties.
Yeah, because they'll play that down, right?
Yeah, of course. Now, we do know that there were a considerable number of Afghan casualties, certainly over 100.
Right.
The Soviet death toll remains a closely guarded secret to this day. Some say that as many as 700 Soviet troops and about 2,000 Afghan soldiers and civilians may have died in that tunnel.
It would be the higher number, I suppose, just knowing what the Soviets were like. Like, it would be...
Yeah, they're never going to go, well, it was 700, so let's say 800. They're always going to go, it was 23.
Yeah, exactly.
Shortly after this event, Western diplomats who were there at the time indicated that the death toll of 700 Soviet soldiers seemed to be about right.
Okay.
As for Afghan civilians, it stated anything between 400 and 2,000. You see, that's a massive disparity. Yeah. People really don't know. US military analysts place the casualty figure at somewhere between 1 and 200 soldiers. So you see, we don't...
So it's really all over the shop.
It's all over the shop. The thing that kind of makes you think it could be higher than that is that there were citizens in the Soviet Union who reported seeing up to 400 bodies returning home. So obviously they're seeing all these bodies of these victims coming back on planes.
But again,
or
that's
trains.
Just an estimate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, how many bodies did you see? Oh, I don't know.
Well, yeah, just because Auntie Babushka saw coffins coming off a train doesn't mean anything. And, you know, and some of these...
I don't know if you've ever heard, you know, my dad telling a story. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Two people become six people. Six people become 405 people.
Exactly. You know, rural old missing teeth peasants in the Soviet hinterland aren't going to be David Starkey, are they?
No, exactly. But it seems to me like it is a busy tunnel. So if there was a fire in the Dartford Tunnel and they say, oh, you know, you'd be able to go... Well, I reckon I know how many people that would affect.
I mean, you can assume that pretty much nobody in the middle three-fifths of that tunnel would have got out.
Yeah.
And because Soviets blocked off the end, virtually everyone in it died.
Yeah, you'd think so.
And you can roughly guess how busy it would be.
Yeah, that thing about it was designed to take 2,000 people.
Mm.
Can we not sort of say that it's going to be around...
Yeah.
And that number of people, isn't it? It's going to be somewhere between...
Yeah.
1,000 and 2,000 people.
High, I think, is the word we're trying to say here.
So, that was the Salang Tunnel fire. It's a really horrible thing, but also a mysterious, strange one where we have no idea what really happened.
We're just having a clue, yeah. We know there was a tunnel fire.
Yeah.
We know that Soviets involved.
Yep.
We know that the Afghans were involved.
Yeah.
We don't know how it happened.
Nope.
We don't know how many people died.
Nope.
No one will ever tell us.
Nope.
Who the hell's fault's that?
It's the Soviets' fault.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I suppose, yeah, we don't know if it's our fault or God's fault because we don't know what caused it.
No.
So let's speculate.
Yeah, go on then, yes.
So, you got a tanker that explodes.
Yeah.
The only way that could be God's fault is if...
He hates fossil fuels.
Yeah, and somehow made it spontaneously combust, which I imagine he probably didn't.
He could have hated Soviets and hated Afghanistanis more because more of them died.
You think? Right, so we're saying that God hates Afghanistan people?
It's possible.
I don't think that's true. I think God loves all his creation.
It's unlikely to be God's fault.
I think it's unlikely to be God's fault. It was a crash, tanker, fire. It's our fault.
Yeah.
And I think the Soviets' fault for sealing up the frickin' tunnel. Absolute madness. So that was the murky...
War does strange things.
They've never been writer.
Strange decisions are made.
That was the strange story of the Sangang Tunnel fire. Phil, do you enjoy it?
Like always, enjoy is not the right word, but fascinating, but very hard to find information.
It's a weird one, isn't it?
I wasn't prepared to go to Moscow.
No.
To go to the official place, which wouldn't have told me if I'd have done it.
Brilliant. So, Phil, that was a Salang Tunnel fire. Have you got any podcasts you want to plug?
I do want to plug. Plug some podcasts.
Having done a podcast now for, is it 30 years we've been doing this podcast? You've started actually listening to them.
I have. I've realised that the radio in all its forms, be it DAB, FM, internet, offers nothing to me.
Nothing at all.
I'm not interested. Radio's rubbish.
Yeah, it's absolutely rubbish.
When I'm on a long journey, there's just nothing worth listening to unless I want to get annoyed with nutters phoning in LBC giving their uninformed political opinions, which I do occasionally.
Lovely. Right.
Number one, a good friend of ours, Sean McLaughlin, wonderful comedian. Yeah. He does a podcast with a chap called Elliot Fallows. Sean and Elliot read the Bible.
They read the whole Bible.
They read the whole Bible and just chat about it.
Lovely.
Very funny.
Excellent.
Very entertaining.
Do they believe in God, or are they doing it from an atheist point of view?
I think Elliot is atheist. Sean, I think, is a little bit undecided, largely because he went to a very strong Catholic school.
Really?
It's rubbed off on him.
Has
been Catholic groomed.
They do try that, don't they, the Catholics, to make it rub off.
But I don't know. I might be putting words in Sean's mouth.
Okay, we'll whack it in the show notes. Sean and Elliot read the Bible.
Very, very good. Pop, collaborate and listen. A couple of lovely guys do this one. One of them we know listens to this show, Dave Fensom. So we're not just doing it because he listens to the show. Genuinely a funny podcast. They've got this idea of reviewing every number one album from the 1990s.
Oh, brilliant.
And they go through every song on that album, talk about it. It's very funny, very good. Great idea, good concept. Slightly jealous we didn't come up with that.
Good point. And it's a little bit more fun than what we have.
Yeah.
A little bit more fun than we have to talk about people being incinerated in a tube. A
lot less research as well.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah, you got one list, then you play the album.
Yes.
Good on you, boys.
Well done.
Nice. This one I really like, Off Menu.
Oh, yeah, I know that
this
one.
Is, yeah, James A. Acaster, great comedian, and Ed Gamble, also great comedian.
Vegans?
No.
Oh, good.
No, they're not. They're not, good. No.
okay, so those are our podcast plugs. What number are we up to?
That was podcast 18.
18 of the Crash Bang Warrant podcast.
Yeah.
It's going really well. I think we're getting loads and loads of nice reviews, and we're getting loads of nice Twitter comments. Thank you so much for doing that.
Yes, genuinely, please. We love it. We love it when we get reviews and people chat to us. It's really nice. We really do genuinely appreciate it.
Yeah, so long may it continue. If you tell people about the podcast, they'll learn about the podcast and they'll listen to the podcast, and that'll be good for us. I don't know what you get out of it. I'll tell you what you get out of it, is that we carry on doing the podcast if you enjoy it, I suppose.
And the warm glow of keeping two middle-aged men off the streets.
I've got to do something with my life, man. I've got nothing going on.
Yeah. Yes, so if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter at CBWallop.
Lovely.
Or Instagram, which is at Wallop Bang.
Lovely.
Preferred form of communication is Twitter.
Yeah.
But don't let that stop you reaching out to us however you want. We really do love hearing from you.
Lovely. Yes, we love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening. We are back in 2 weeks' time talking about a car.
Ford Edsel.
Phil, you got anything to add?
No, that's me done.
Okay, brilliant. Well, we'll see you in 2 weeks' time. Thank you so much for listening. That was the Crash Man Bollock this week. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.